Welcome to 70s Beatles. I'm Kate.
And I'm Scott. Today we are going to take a solo album from each member of the Beatles. And by taking turns, we will pick songs to fill up what would be our theoretical, hypothetical, What If the Beatles Stayed Together album. Using John's own suggested template of four songs apiece for George, Paul, and himself, along with one or two Ringo tunes, we build out our individual albums. After a month or so, we go back and use Spotify data to calculate the percentage increase in the number of plays for each track. We then total these percentages and see which one of us has the winning album.
On February 17th, 1975, John Lennon released Rock and Roll. This album went to number 6 on the US charts and was certified gold. Originally begun in October of 1973, before working on Walls and Bridges, with Phil Spector producing this collection of 50s oldies. All participants in the sessions were pretty drunk and or stoned, but work on the album halted midway through when Spector came in and ran off with the tapes.
Now, this was not just a simple passion project full of beloved oldies. Lennon had been sued by Morris Levy, who owned the rights to Chuck Berry's You Can't Catch Me. Several lyrics from Come Together had been lifted directly from that Chuck Berry song, and John was now legally obligated to record a number of these songs within Levy's holdings as part of the settlement. In October 1974, a year after the initial sessions, Spector finally returned the tapes to Lennon. And in order to appease Morris Levy, Lennon lent him those same tapes, which Levy then immediately turned around and started selling as an as-seen-on-TV bootleg entitled Roots, which forced John to quickly finish up the rock and roll album and get his own official version in stores. The album features the single Stand By Me.
On May 27th, 1975, Paul McCartney released Venus and Mars. The album went to number 1 on the US charts and was certified platinum, having gotten some positive sales and reviews for Band on the Run. Paul wanted to reconstitute Wings as a functional live band to capitalize on this success. So McCartney recruited drummer Geoff Britton and guitarist Jimmy McCulloch. However, the two butted heads and Britton was replaced by Joe English after 6 months. Wings started recording a new album titled Venus and Mars in London before moving to New Orleans and finishing up in LA. Although not as popular as Band on the Run, Venus and Mars cemented Paul's reputation as the only currently relevant ex-Beatle of the 70s. The album featured the singles Listen to What the Man Said, Letting Go, and Venus and Mars / Rock Show.
Now, on September 22nd, 1975, George Harrison released Extra Texture. The album went to number 8 on the US charts and was certified gold. While his laryngitis had cleared up and George was no longer recording under the pressure of trying to get something out in time for a tour, Extra Texture turned out to be even less beloved than Dark Horse, and is frequently cited as the nadir of Harrison's career. The album featured the singles You and This Guitar Can't Keep From Crying. Noteworthy, this album marked the last new album released by the original incarnation of Apple Records.
Ringo Starr released two singles in 1975, both from his Goodnight Vienna album. After Only You, the second single released was The No-No Song, an ironic novelty tune about sobriety that reached number 3 on the charts. The third and final single was the title track It's All Down to Goodnight Vienna, which was written by John Lennon, and only went to number 31 on the Billboard Hot 100.
So overall, what are your feelings and or impressions of this batch of albums?
You know, I ended up liking the John record a lot more than I thought I would. It was, like, endearing, I think, to hear him cover all of these, like, old songs. And I think the story behind it is really funny. You know, like, there's a lot of moving pieces, like, that made before this album happened, and a lot of, like, I don't know, funny stories and craziness with Phil Spector being involved, and there's like a lawsuit and it's like, like all this stuff. So I enjoyed that. And then Venus and Mars is a great record. So I enjoyed getting to listen to that and have that kind of pop back up on my rotation. Extra Texture.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. It wasn't like any better or worse than I was expecting. I'd say that, like, I don't know. It was about what I expected. It's quite morose, you know, and I had a hard time picking songs to fit into the more like upbeat Paul tracks and the, you know, oldies John stuff. I think I had a harder time kind of fitting extra texture in. But I did enjoy getting the chance to listen through it, because like I never listened to it. So this is always a good opportunity for me to spend some time with some albums that I don't listen to normally. So how about you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I had gotten to know Extra Texture as a kid because that was one of the few vinyl records I had. So I have a fondness for it that probably greatly outstrips its actual value. Rock and Roll was a tough one for me to get into. I think I've always had a problem with this record just because there's so few John Lennon albums, and the fact that one of them is like wasted or whatever on non-original songs is frustrating to me, since he had such a limited time to record anything. So
yeah.
Also, after Walls and Bridges, I'm kind of disappointed by the sort of sameness of Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
It's an easy one to put on and listen to, but it's hard to pick out distinctive songs on it. So this is going to be more of a challenge for me to pick those songs, because I mean, half of them are medleys of three different oldies that all have the same three chords, so there might be a lot of just blindly pulling names out of a hat towards the end of this. So,
yeah, that's fair. Well, who has first pick?
I won last time, so I think you actually get first pick this time. So,
okay.
Round one.
That could be interesting.
This is good, actually. Yes, I was hoping for it because there's a certain... I have a plan, you know? Like, I always go in with my little plan.
I'm excited.
I'm going to start with Paul for pick number one. And I am going to take Rock Show. Interestingly, we have, I know they are separate on the record, Venus and Mars and then Rock Show are separate on the record, but everywhere that I look at as like, you know, doing research on them, whatever, like it's always titled Venus and Mars / Rock Show, because Venus and Mars is only like a minute long and then Rock Show is pretty long, but I want to use this as an opener on my album. I think that it's got like a stadium rock kind of vibe to it, and like a theatrical fun energy that I think that would have definitely set the tone for a Beatles album. Paul is doing something very grand and dynamic. I love this song.
Yeah. Well, I think it's appropriate for the rock and roll songs that John is doing to have a rock song.
Yeah.
And I mean, normally I do always see it as a, you know, medley or whatever, but they're two separate songs on Spotify with two separate numbers. In fact,
yeah,
Rock Show has like 2.8 million, while Venus and Mars, first part, has 4.1 million. So I'm not quite sure who's listening to just Venus and Mars and turning it off. Although,
yeah,
frankly, I always like Venus and Mars so much that I get disappointed when Rock Show starts. So it was never a big fan of that, and mostly just wanted to hear more Venus and Mars and was disappointed that it didn't happen.
Mm.
Let's see. Now, for my first one, I think I'm going to actually start with John. I've got a tentative plan in place, but we'll see if it pans out. But for my first John song, I'm actually going to pick You Can't Catch Me, the song that caused the lawsuit that required him to record the album to begin with, so... Chuck Berry tune, and I think there's a couple of Chuck Berry tunes on here, and those are some of the more lively tunes on there. Also, this is one of the songs that was from the Phil Spector sessions in 73, as opposed to the Lennon solo selections from New York City in 74. So there's a lot of LA on all three of these albums, so I'm trying to get for an LA feel here.
Yes, LA, Los Angeles, and LA, Louisiana.
That's true.
Yeah, this is a good pick. It's got that classic gritty Lennon edge. It's kind of vintage rock 50s, as you know this album is, but it's good. That was definitely high on my list, so good pick.
Round 2.
For number 2, I am actually, this was the plan, I'm going to take Venus and Mars.
Waiting for the show to begin. Red lights, green lights, strawberry wine. A good friend of mine follows the stars. Venus and Mars are all right tonight.
But I wanted Rock Show first, because just in case you took Venus and Mars, I was like, I really want Rock Show if I have to pick between the two. But it sounds like you like Venus and Mars better anyway, so I guess I didn't have to worry about that. But I'm going to put these in succession as the opener on the album, like If It Ain't Broke, Don't Fix It kind of a thing.
Yeah, they don't really make sense without each other, unfortunately. Although there's right. A reprise of Venus and Mars, and maybe I will snag that later just so we both can have one.
Yes, I was thinking that would probably happen.
And let's see. I think for my second pick, I'm going to go with George. I know there might not be a lot of competition on here because this is... I'm actually going to go with Tired of Midnight Blue. He seemed to be going for a soulful vibe on this album, and you know, maybe he didn't have the vocals to pull it off half the time, but this is one of the tunes where I think he manages it, and it's got a cool groove and I like it a lot. So it's one I always gravitated towards when I was a kid, so I'm gonna pick that one.
Yeah, one of the more upbeat ones. That's good. I kind of feel like with the George album, I'm kind of the way that you said you're kind of pulling from a hat with the John album, that's how I feel with George a little bit, which is like, I feel like very out of the usual for me, because usually I'm like way more familiar with the George albums than with the other Beatles. So this is definitely kind of like new territory for me a little bit. Tired of Midnight Blue was pretty high on my list because I like the bluesiness of it, and I think it fits well with the John songs.
Now here's a question. Extra Texture or Dark Horse, which do you prefer? Because they've all been a step down in his catalog. Is Extra Texture another step down?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I think that I have a special kind of love for Dark Horse just because of the story behind it that we talked about like last week with the tour and the laryngitis. And like I mentioned on that episode that I have one of the Rock Critic like articles from a Rolling Stone magazine from 74. So that album has like, I like the story behind it. I like the like things that come with it. And I've read and researched more about it. And I personally think that Dark Horse is a good song. I think that it's mixed and mastered very poorly, but I think that his laryngitis would be kind of cool if it had received the proper sonic treatment, if you will. So yeah, this, I had a hard time finding more points with this that I like related to, I guess. But again, you know, I haven't spent as much time with this, and I think that if I had the sort of nostalgia pull to it that you do, I would probably feel differently.
Well, Dark Horse at least has an excuse for why it sounds like that.
Yeah.
Extra Texture just feels kind of lazy. I mean, the main motivation behind it is George was producing an album for a band called Splinter in LA, and then Splinter did not show up. So he had this studio time booked and didn't see any reason not to use it. Plus his record contract was running out and was hoping to find a new distributor for his next project. So he was trying to impress A&M, I think, was the record label he was hoping to impress by putting out something that wasn't Dark Horse, and this didn't work. This did not do well at all. So
yeah,
but that was his intent anyway.
Right. This is what they call a record company obligation album.
Yes.
He had like one more album left on the contract.
Round three.
Well, since we've been talking so much about George, I guess I'll go over there. And I'm going to take this guitar, Can't Keep From Crying. Thought by now you knew the score. You missed the point just like before. This guitar can't keep from crying. Is this the While My Guitar Gently Weeps sequel? Yes. This Guitar Can't Keep From Crying is a direct follow-up to While My Guitar Gently Weeps, but it's a little bit more personal, a little bit more introspective, a little more mellow. I think it would make kind of an emotional and thematic contribution to my hypothetical Beatles album. I don't really know what else to say about it.
Yeah. No, it is one of the better songs. It was the second single released. It didn't do very well, but
yes.
I think that single was the last thing that Apple ever put out until, you know, like Anthology came along in the 90s or whatever, so.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, that's interesting. A little like bookend.
Yeah, so. I mean, it is kind of weird to do a sequel song. It's not something people do often, although George did it again with Here Comes the Moon in a couple of years, but
right.
it always was one of my favorites on this record, too, and I'm kind of bummed I didn't grab it first, but alas, I at least got tired of Midnight Blue. So, I should probably pick a Paul song, and this Paul record is all over the place. I mean, there's good stuff on it, but there's a lot of variety, which
yeah.
makes it a strong contrast to the George and John records, which have a kind of sameness to them. So
yeah,
I mean, there's everything from, you know, You Gave Me the Answer to Medicine Jar to whatnot, but I think I'm gonna start with Letting Go. Was released as a single, but wasn't one of the bigger singles. It's one of the bluesier, rocking, and more heavy songs on the record, and it's just nice to hear Wings not be too twee for a while.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That was next on me for Paul, so good snatch. But that's, yeah, this is a great moody track. He played this when I saw him live, so I have a little place for it in my heart for sure. Any of the songs that he played when I saw him, I'm always trying to get those up because it's familiar and I like them. But that will fit. It'll especially fit well, I think, with the George songs.
Yeah.
It's a little more mellow.
Round four.
For pick number four, I think I'll go over to John and I'm going to take Stand by me. This is quite an iconic cover and one that I think was received well by people. I mean, the album in general it didn't do poorly or anything, but this is one that I think that kind of people remember more than a lot of the other ones. And it's one that has been covered a lot, so it's not like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like I don't compare it to the original as much as you would do with like something that if someone like covered a song one time, but something that's like covered a bunch of times, I feel like it has more space for that. And I think his emotional delivery is really great. I think in terms of fitting in on a Beatles album, it'll give the album a little bit of nostalgia and emotional resonance. if you will.
Well, and if you look at the numbers, that it is far away the best performing song on this album. I mean, it's got 126 million, while the next highest one's got like 2. I think the whole rest of the album combined doesn't have nearly half the numbers that Stand By Me does. So
yeah,
we'll see how it performs over the next month, but it is a solid choice just, you know, numbers-wise. Since we are talking John, let me see. For my fourth pick, I'm going to go with Sweet Little 16. It's another Chuck Berry tune, and I like the Chuck Berry tunes. Also, it's another one of the ones that Phil Spector produced. And as chaotic and disturbing as the sessions were, I think those feel a lot more real than the really quick, slick production that John did in New York to finish the album up, which is most of the album. I think there's only like 4 songs from the Phil Spector sessions that made it onto the final cut. But
yeah.
That one's one of them, so I'm keeping that one. Plus, it's not nearly as creepy as Your 16 by Ringo Starr, so good points for that.
Yeah, definitely. I think we should just briefly like talk about that story a little bit. I know we mentioned it in the intro, but I'm not sure that I'm completely clear on what happened. Like, so I think they were recording. And was it in those sessions that Phil Spector was, like, bringing a gun and,
yes,
like, being weird? Okay.
He was at the height, not the height of his weirdness. He got weirder, but yes, he was pretty damn weird.
Right. And then he would take the tapes home with him at night in between sessions, correct?
Yeah, without telling anyone. So John had no idea. Right. And then apparently he got into a car accident and fell into a coma.
Yes.
He still had the tapes and no one knew where they were, so that's why production on that album halted.
Okay. So he stole them, but it wasn't like he stole them and was hiding them. He fell into a coma, so.
Yeah, no, he stole them and hid them and then fell into a coma.
Okay.
Which made it hard for him to return them, but yeah.
Fair, okay. And was this, okay, because I know that he recorded a album with the Ramones called, like, End of the Century, where he was also being crazy, but was that turn of the 70s, or was, no, that, because the 74 was that Ramones, that must have been, like, 1980. Okay, so this was, like, way before that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Phil Spector has been pretty consistent in his weirdness over the years.
Okay. All right. Now that I'm glad that I have that like story all straightened out in my mind, because when I was reading stuff, I was like, this just doesn't make any sense. But okay. Now I know.
Round 5.
I'm going to move away from that craziness for a moment, John. And I'm going to go back to George, pick number 5, because I am going to take you.
You'll take me.
You was the first single. It was recorded a long time before the album, 1971, recorded during an aborted Ronnie Spector album. He resurrected it, George resurrected it, because he really liked the backing track and decided to go ahead and finish it off. It's a very upbeat track, kind of in the same vein as, like, What Is Life? The problem is with the song, I think, is that it can get a little bit monotonous. He says you probably 500 times in the song, but it's upbeat and it's fun, and it since it was produced for Ronnie Spector's voice, George's voice can sound a little bit out of place at times. He said, I watched this thing where he was talking about the song and he was like, yeah, like when I went to sing it, I was like, oh, wow, this is really high. And I realized that when I wrote it, he put the key up like three times for Ronnie's voice. But I do think that it works. I think it's a fun song and I appreciate that he did it. It's definitely like, okay, he's recovered from his laryngitis and in this, his voice sounds pretty good. I think that with the like upbeat and feel good energy, it'll bring some brightness to the album.
Yeah, no, it's a solid choice. I mean, everyone who hates Extra Texture always claims that's the one good song on it, and probably because it's the one song that didn't come from the Extra Texture sections. But it is, first of all, the title, You, is confusing and annoying. and the lyrics are, as you said, simplistic and repetitious to the point of brain numbing. Yeah. But it still is like the most fun thing on here by a large section. I mean, he also did the same thing with the Try Some, Buy Some on Living in the Material World, where he took one of the Ronnie Spector songs and just put his vocals on it. And yeah, it's a little out of his range, but I can understand why this was the single that was chosen off the album. And this one, unlike this guitar, actually did okay. Not great, but okay. So let's see. What else does George have here? For my fifth. Yeah. Some of these songs run together, but I'm going to pick Can't Stop Thinking About You for my number five pick. That one's catchy enough that I can remember it from the title. And, I mean, again, it has You on there after You and a bit more of You, which is just literally a little bit more of the song You. I mean, that's the thing, is as dull and as dour as the songs on this album are, he seems to be having a lot of fun with, like, the album title and the album artwork. He has a little caption under his face saying, oh, not him again, and he seems to be having fun, but, you know, not when you listen to it. I think the next record, 33 and a third, he's actually having fun.
Round six.
So for pick number five, I am going to take Slippin' and Slidin'. Slippin' and Slidin'. The track is upbeat, energetic, showcases John's love for rock and roll. It'll put some raw energy. It kind of reminds me of the first two Beatles albums, Please Please Me and Meet the Beatles, or With the Beatles, depending on what country you're in. So I think it'll provide a nice balance to Paul's polished pop and George's introspection.
I think it would have been a nice cover in the middle of a bunch of originals, but as just another cover, it can get a little lost, but that's not really this song's fault. It's all the songs on here, so that, yeah. This isn't a band that has rehearsed these songs for years and loves them for years. This is a bunch of studio guys, so.
Right.
I mean, they can play it professionally, and they probably know this song, have known this song forever, but it doesn't have that same cohesiveness or urgency, I think, as the covers on Meet the Beatles.
Yeah, urgency is a good word.
Yeah, which is, I sadly, lacking on not just that album, but all these albums. I think this is not a terribly... Everyone's sort of settled into a nice career at this point. No one's really fighting as hard as they were in the last batch when, you know, Paul wanted to get some respect and John wanted to finally get a hit. So they were fighting, and I think they both won, and now this batch of albums are just sort of doing what they do when they've won their victory laps. So for John, it's easing back with covers, while for Paul, it's setting a stage for arena rock tours with his new band Wings. So
yeah, that's a really good point. There's not a whole lot of experimentation
No, no. Well, I mean, Paul is all over the place in that album, but they're all things we'd expect right. Paul to do. I mean, the cheesiness of "You Gave Me the Answer" or the, I mean, "Magneto and Titanium Man," whatever that is. But I think for my sixth pick, I will actually pick "Lovin' Song."
Loving someone, loving someone. I can see the places that we used to go to now. Happiness in the home.
Which is a nice, moody, spooky ballad. I mean, it's again, nothing we haven't heard Paul do before, but I think he does it well with this one, and I think it goes well with the original Venus and Mars. So I'm hoping it. I don't think there's any way to make this album cohesive. I've just got to stop trying to and just pick songs I like. Accept my fate.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that there is a cohesive album in here, but there's not two cohesive albums in here, you know? So like we're kind of surgically splitting up these things, and so
yeah, I mean,
yeah, just the ones we like at this point.
We've had worse batches of albums, but these are certainly the most
disparate,
shall we say.
Yes.
Round 7.
I am going to follow you to Paul for pick number 7. And I'm going to take "Call Me Back Again."
Are you calling me? Come on and call me back again. Come on and call me back again.
I think that this song shows off Paul's vocal range. It's kind of, it can be like a slow reflective moment on the album, maybe sandwiched in between George's songs. It would be kind of like the dip in the album, but it will, I think, I don't know, it'll work, hopefully.
Yeah, no, it definitely fits. It's a good rockin' song, and it's surprising how many rocking songs there are on this album, which feels so thoroughly goofy, but
yeah,
there's a couple of, I mean, the ones that both Denny and what's-his-name sing are good rockin' songs, but I don't know if you can really put them on these albums, so I've sort of avoided Spirits of Ancient Egypt and Medicine Jar, although I think they're good songs because they don't feel very Beatly just because Paul's not singing them.
Yeah.
But it's a good question.
What's-his-name?
What's-his-name, yes. Well, there was a Jimmy McCulloch and a Jimmy McCullough.
Right.
I think they have both, and there's like a Jeff Britton and a Joe English, and it gets confusing. One of them was like a karate master. That's all I remember. I think the drummer Jeff Britton was a karate master. So that is my
interesting
bit of useless information. Well, since I don't know what to do, I'm going to pull another random John Lennon track out, another oldie but moldy. This time I'm going to pick Boney Maroney. It's one of the other ones that Phil Spector produced, and since I'm got three of the four, I'm trying to get all four Phil Spector tracks just to get some reason to pick songs. Plus, it's a good one.
Yeah,
it's not one of the medleys. The medleys feel kind of lazy, like we can't even fill up this whole song, so we're just gonna switch to "Send Me Some Lovin'" or whatever.
And this is a phenomenal title for a song. I mean, Boney Maroney, are you kidding me? That's revolutionary.
Yes, I don't even know what it means.
You should name your album
Boney Maroney.
You should name the album Boney Maroney.
Not, Just bony. I don't know.
Yeah, what does it mean? I don't know, but...
I'm assuming it's somebody's name, but I don't really understand the song.
Okay, I will be nice and let you have... I appreciate the Phil Spector consistency over there, so I will stay away from that last Phil Spector song on John's record. Actually, partially because I don't even know what it is.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is recorded
so
years apart in different studios with different musicians and different producers, and it all feels like the same thing. I think part of it is just the song selection, yep. But...
Route 8.
Yeah. So I'll go back to, you know, this. I think that this might be the farthest that we've gotten in a batch without touching Ringo yet. And so I'm going to wait. I think it'll be fun to do, like, not even one. I mean, we've done Ringo songs last, obviously, but, like, not a single one being picked yet is funny. I just wanted to make note of that. But so for my pick number 8, I'm going to go to George. And I'm going to do... World of Stone. This world had a storm. Such a long, long way to go. The wiser be. Which originally, on my first listen through, this song was very low on my ranking of, like, ones that I liked, but in sort of, like, trying to piece this together, I had to, I think, reassess, like, okay, I'm not trying to pick the ones that I like or don't like, which that plays in a little bit, obviously, sometimes, but this was me more trying to, like, piece together some cohesion, I guess, and I think that this fits in better with the ones that I have picked so far. Because it's a little bit, you know, spiritual and reflective, I guess. So I think that it'll work with kind of the raw emotion of John and then Paul's, like, lightness for balance. I know that, like, I end up picking songs that I like. That's not, like, a disqualifying criteria, but that's kind of how I justified this pick anyway.
Yeah. Well, and it's tough with extra texture. I'm actually going to pick one, too. I'm going to go with The Answers at the End. Which is the closest to a spiritual song on this album, which is kind of surprising. Usually George mm-hmm. has a bunch of them, but this is a far more personal and far less spiritual album than George usually does. And it may mostly be because I'm trying to avoid certain other songs on this album, but
yeah,
I'm going to go with The Answers at the End.
Yeah, this is probably one of the only... Is it the only one that has some of the Eastern... philosophy, which is so characteristic of George? Like, Dark Horse had so much of it, and this might be the only one.
Yeah, no, I don't know whether all the criticism he got for the preachiness on Dark Horse and living in the material world got to him, or whether he just was, you know, doing so much cocaine all he could think about was himself, but it does feel like a very...
Yeah.
And I mean, apparently the sessions for this were pretty awful. Klaus Voormann was supposed to play bass on it and ended up leaving, so most of the bass on here is just played on a synthesizer, which is probably not helping the overall sound and feel of this album.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Round 9.
Number 9.
I think I'm going to go ahead and finish out George for my 9th pick, and... take Ooh Baby. You know, in parentheses, you know that I love you, which is a... It's not a cover, but it's definitely harkens back to, like, Smokey Robinson, Motown influence, which is not really rock and roll. It's Motown, but it is of the same era and influence. So I'm kind of trying to fit that in with John's stuff, I guess. The track is kind of laid back and intimate. It's about expressing love and devotion in a simple and direct way. So I'm hoping that it kind of fits in with those John songs. We'll see.
Yeah. Ordering these albums is going to be a challenge later. I'm curious as to how that's going to go. I mean,
yeah,
he did do another tribute to Smokey Robinson again on 33 and a third. Stay tuned for future episodes or whenever that is better than this one.
Yes, definitely.
But it's nice to see him trying. He doesn't have laryngitis. He can at least try to sing a Smokey Robinson style of song.
All right.
For my ninth pick, let's see. I think I'm actually going to, you know, I hate listen to what the man says. Crossroads themes is not really a song. Medicine Jar and Spirits of Ancient Egypt are sung by the wrong guy. I don't want to do You Gave Me the Answer. I don't want to do Magneto and Titanium Man. So that kind of leaves me by default with Treat Her Gently.
Treat her gently.
So that leaves me with a Treat Her Gently, which is a sweet, nice little... It's not as good as Warm and Beautiful on the next record. It's nowhere near Paul's top tier ballads, but it's a sweet, nice little song. And like I said, there's a lot of stuff I'm trying to avoid on Venus and Mars, so Treat Her Gently it is.
Yeah, I think that fits, I think, well with, like, Letting Go and Love and Song. You definitely have some good consistency, I feel like, across the, with the people. Like, your John songs are consistent and your Paul songs are consistent, so it's going good.
Round 10.
I'm going to round off Paul also for my pick number 10. And I'm going to take Magneto and Titanium Man.
And a crimson dynamo came along for the ride. We went to town with the library, and we swung all over that long tall bank in the main street. Well, there she's wearing the mighty's belt. She's a five-star.
Because it's kind of bluesy-ish. I feel like I get that from it a little bit, so I think it'll kind of mellow in with, like I said, like the Ooh Baby with like the Motown influence, and like, okay, we'll throw some blues on there in addition to the rock and roll. Yeah.
This is definitely years before comic book movies made, you know, knowing who Magneto is mainstream. And I don't think Paul really knows. I think he just likes the name, because, I mean, I don't know that much about him, but I don't think any of what's in the song has anything to do with the character I do know. It's
anything
about
to do with, yeah. Yeah.
You're involved in a robbery that's due to happen. I mean, generally you don't schedule bank robberies because then people can avoid them or arrest you. But
yes,
it's musically it's a great song. Lyrically, you just kind of turn your mind off, I think.
Yeah, I get that for sure. And I want to kind of, with this being my last Paul song here, just kind of like talk about, first of all, that part of this record was recorded in New Orleans, which we mentioned in the intro, but
yeah.
I find that super interesting and cool. I am from Pensacola, Florida, which is like 3 hours away from New Orleans. So I've been to New Orleans a bunch. It was always kind of like a fun, like day trip kind of a thing from where I grew up. So it's really interesting to me that, like, I did not know this. I didn't know that Paul recorded there. And then I also want to talk about the album art.
Yes.
Which is two billiards balls on a black background shot by Linda.
It's very reminiscent of his first album, I think.
Yes. And the art design, so like the letters and stuff, was done by Hypnosis, which is the same group that did a lot of the like Pink Floyd album art covers.
Yeah, they were a big graphics design studio that hung around with rock stars back in the day. So
yeah,
I don't know why you need someone just to design the font, but it works out well for him. So
right.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, he did the last album, Lagos, Nigeria, and there's almost nothing remotely Nigerian on Band on the Run, but you can hear a little hint of New Orleans, at least in Listen to What the Man Said. I think Alan Toussaint, they recorded his studio and he appeared on like Rock Show or a couple of other songs. So, I mean, there's a little New Orleans in there. Not a lot. I mean, it'd be fun if he did a full-on like Zydeco Cajun kind of album, but I don't really see that happening.
Oh, that would be so good.
Yeah, he never went down the world music rabbit hole. He did, you know, he could have been like making Graceland and whatnot, but he's tended to stay in his own lane. I think he thought about it when he went to Nigeria, and then Fela Kuti like threatened him or scared him, and he never got close to it again. Which probably, you know, cultural appropriation is not a great look, so it may be for the best. But yeah,
he wants to retain his status as unproblematic king.
Yes, there's many things you can accuse him of, but problematic is not high in that. Well, there's a song title on McCartney 2 we could get to. But let's see. For my 10th, I'm going to finish off, John, get the last of the Phil Spector songs, and it's Just Because. That song was actually, if you got the rock and roll CD reissue from whatever, 2004 or something, it had a couple of bonus tracks, including a different take of Just Because, where he mumbles in the end that he gives thanks to, like, Paul, George, and Ringo. And I always wished I could find that reprise again. I'm sure if I dug through the used CD section of my record store, I could find it. But otherwise, it's still a good song. I think Paul actually recorded a version of it later too, so we have two versions of Just Because by Beatles out there. So
that's sweet. I didn't know that he had the little mumble of
At the end on the one in the album, he talks about how there's two basses on the song. I hope you appreciate it, but it's kind of like the end of the Ringo album where it's like a big thank you to all my friends and George and Paul and Ringo and whoever and blah blah blah. So it is sweet if you can find it. Definitely worth checking out.
Okay, for sure. And with this being your last selection of the John songs, we should talk about that album artwork, I think.
Yeah, that's one of the better John album art pieces, I think, of all time.
For sure.
It's a photo from the Hamburg days, actually. And I believe the blurs are actually Paul and George and Stu Sutcliffe walking by, but
they are. Yeah.
So that's a kind of fun little nod, but yeah, with like a neon sign above it. It is it's a great shot, and John looks super cool in it, and I think it's the best way to sell this album.
Agreed. It is definitely one of his best album artworks, for sure. I completely agree.
Round 11.
And I am staying in John territory. I've got two more John songs to fill out. I'm going to take 8 back. I think it has a fun John, like unique John vocal flair. It's kind of loose, again, like being kind of light and energetic, which I think will complement and contrast Paul's pop, George's introspection.
Yeah, there's not a lot of ballads on that rock and roll album, actually, so it would have been better if he had thrown some in there. I think Stand By Me might actually be the closest, and that might be why it stands out so much.
Yeah.
All right. So I got one Paul, one George, and if we're avoiding Ringo studiously.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm there's no...
Very well.
Yes, I mean, we'll get to that when we get to that. That'll be the last you know, 15 minutes of the podcast, but
yep.
I think for my, let's see, 11th pick, I'm going to go with, well, I really don't want His Name Is Legs, and A Bit More of You is just a more of a joke than a song, and it's only 30 seconds long. So I guess that leaves Gray Cloudy Lies. As I say it, I'm having a hard time remembering how that song goes, but it probably sounds like the rest of Extra Texture, where it's bluesy and soulful, and George is trying really hard, but it's, yeah, not leaving much of an impression.
Yeah, just blanket statement.
Yes.
That song, yeah.
Generic Extra Texture song, insert here.
I don't know what to add.
We'll just go on to round 12.
Round 12.
We'll just move on. Yeah. Okay. So for round 12, I have one John pick left, and I just feel like we just have to duke out Ringo at the end here, because we've just committed to that at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick my last John song, which I am going to take. I'm trying to see what is left. I had Ya Ya on the last album.
True.
So I would take that, but I won't take it again because I already had it. So I think I'm going to do, I'm going to like, okay, so I had a plan. Obviously I like went in with a plan, and then I have like backups in case my plan doesn't work, but I'm going to stray away because I'm going to take Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue was like not on my backup plan list at all, but I'm going to take it because I really like the Buddy Holly song, and I just think it's fun that he went and covered it, and it's like, it's very retro and it's fun. And this is one that I feel like does hold a little bit of nostalgia for me, because when I was like first getting into rock and roll history type stuff, like I was going chronologically. So I started with the '50s, and Peggy Sue and Buddy Holly kind of came up a lot in the things that I was researching. So I have like a bit of a nostalgic tie to it. So, in kind of the same way that like I do with Stand By Me. So I'm locking it in.
He didn't choose very obscure songs, but he didn't choose the blatant obvious ones other than Peggy Sue. That's like probably the biggest, most well-known of the covers on here. And I kind of wish he'd either really leaned into it and did like Heartbreak Hotel and Hound Dog and all the obvious stuff, or just dug up some really obscure things that no one had heard of, but instead he sort of went middle ground with that. So I think for my final Paul pick, because clearly we can't do Ringo yet, we gotta save the best for last.
Yes.
I'm actually gonna do Venus and Mars Reprise. Good friend of mine sold me a sign. Reach for the stars. Venus and Mars are all right tonight. Mostly because I can't do any of the other ones. So, I mean, I know Listen to What the Man Said is a big hit, but maybe because it's such a big hit, it got overplayed and I don't care for it anymore. But plus I always liked Venus and Mars, and the reprise has them going to space, so we're gonna go with Venus and Mars Reprise. We both got a Venus and Mars on there. Way to go.
Yeah, I was hoping that it would turn out that way, honestly. I was wondering, because you'd mentioned it at the beginning, I was like, I wonder if it's gonna come around.
Round 13.
Okay, we are in Ringo territory finally.
Yep, two singles, two A-sides, two B-sides. Nothing he wrote by himself, so that would have been an obvious choice for me, but no, these are all
right. No pinned. Songs about other Beatles, right?
Not really, no.
So it's a free for all. Yeah, okay, so we're 13. I'm gonna start with Ooh-wee. Mostly because I just wanted to say ooh-wee.
And I mean, it's no coochie coochie, but you know.
Yeah, but it'll do.
It'll do.
I don't know. It's fine. Like, it's catchy and it's rhythmic. It's lighthearted. It's joyful. I don't know. It's fine.
It is. I mean, it carries a bit of New Orleans vibe to it too. So if we're trying to make it fit, that's one way to do it. I think for my first Ringo pick, I'm going to go with It's All Down to Goodnight Vienna. Written by John Lennon. That helps it fit in with everything, especially since John didn't write himself anything.
Yeah.
John should get at least one songwriting credit on here.
Yeah, and I guess that's the closest to like your MO of songs about other Beatles kind of a thing written by him, so.
Final round.
All right, last round 14.
Last one. Yeah, I'm making the pick for both of us here.
You are.
And I am going to take Snookaroo. Mostly because I wanted to say Snickeroo.
Snickeroo, ooh wee, coochie coochie.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, poor Ringo.
It was written by Elton John and Bernie Taupin. I don't know if I said that correctly. But like the piano was fun and, you know, it's kind of like laid back, lazy, whatever. I don't know. It's not too serious. It's fun, so I feel like it at least fits in with Ooh-wee.
So. Yes. I mean, it would have been a nice companion piece to whatever gets you through the night, but unfortunately that was the last bash. Yeah. If we were going to do an Elton John meets the Beatles kind of thing, that's Snookaroo is on there. Well, I guess I'm going to have to pick the No-No song.
No more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please. It only makes me sneeze. Then it makes it hard to find the door.
You know, given Ringo's addiction issues just like 15 years after this is kind of not as funny as it probably was back in the 70s, but it's a cutesy song. It's fun, you know.
Yeah.
I like how, you know, when he mentions Spain, there's castanets. And when he mentions Nashville, there's a dobro. And, you know, it's definitely a novelty song. But it's Ringo, so it's fine.
Yes, it is fine. All right. We have our picks.
We can talk about the stuff that wasn't chosen. I mean, there's Bebop-a-Lula.
Yes.
Rip It Up / Ready Teddy. Do You Wanna Dance? Give It to Me, Send Me Some Lovin'. And another version of Ya Ya, which actually was released as a single in Germany for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have little to nothing to say about any of those songs.
Yeah, me either. Okay, so
moving
for
on.
Paul, the songs we did not get to, yes, were You Gave Me the Answer, Spirits of Ancient Egypt, Medicine Jar, Listen to What the Man Said, and Crossroads Theme. We covered I think we talked about Listen to What the Man Said a good bit. I truly just don't really know much about the other ones, except for, I know Crossroads theme was written for a movie, I think.
This is even stupider. It's the theme song from a soap opera that they were just goofing around and happened to cover.
Oh.
Why? I don't know. Why they put it on the album? I don't know.
Oh.
It's an instrumental. It lasts about a minute and a half. The soap opera, which is big in Britain, was thrilled and, you know, started using it occasionally for their own theme, but it doesn't sound significantly different or interesting.
I mean,
there's Spirits of Ancient Egypt, which Denny Lane sings, but Paul wrote, and is a pretty cool song. And honestly, if Paul had sung it, I probably would have picked it, but...
Mm.
And then there's Medicine Jar, which was recorded by and written by Henry McCulloch, who, even worse than the No-No song, died of a drug overdose. So that doesn't feel very fun.
Yeah.
And Paul's last real granny song, You Gave Me the Answer, which he did stop doing them eventually. But this was the latest of them, where he puts on the soft shoe and the bow tie and the top hat and tries to woo your grandmother, so... I don't think we missed out on anything there.
Yeah. He can woo my grandmother anytime.
Well, he probably has, yes, but... It's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Now, since there are only, 10 songs on Extra Texture, the only ones we didn't end up using are A Bit More of You, which is just the song You for an extra 30 seconds, mostly because the title sounds funny, and His Name Is Legs, which is like somebody telling you how great a comedian is, and then playing two of the records simultaneously to try and convince you, and it's just at low volume, so you can't hear what he's saying. So I'm like, he might be hilarious, but I can't understand
any of it.
And and I somehow have a feeling it's not.
I appreciate the little injection of humor, you know, on his album. Like, it sounds like he's having fun here, whereas the rest of the album does not, so.
Yeah. And again, this is another one I was surprised to learn this, only learned it recently. This was actually recorded during Dark Horse.
Oh.
And he needed an extra song to pad out this album, so I think that might be why I just never connected with it, and it didn't feel like it fit in, but... Also, again, it's a song about how funny someone else is, and it's not someone that, well, even if it was someone I did think was funny, I'm not sure how you could write a song about how funny someone is. It doesn't seem like a good usable subject matter, so.
I do not disagree. How about we recap our picks?
Sounds good.
So for my John songs, I've got Stand By Me, Slippin' and Slidin', Ain't That a Shame, and Peggy Sue. My Paul songs are Rock Show, Venus and Mars, Call Me Back Again, Magneto and Titanium Man. For George, I've got This Guitar Can't Keep From Crying, You, World of Stone, and Ooh Baby. And then for Ringo, I get to say them again, I have Ooh Wee and Snickeroo.
Ooh Wee, Snickeroo. When you put it all together, it's,
Yeah.
Let's see, I got the four Phil Spector songs from Rock and Roll, You Can't Catch Me, Sweet Little 16, Boney Maroney, which is almost a Ringo title.
Yeah.
And Just Because. From Paul and Wings, I got Letting Go, Lovin' Song, Treat Her Gently, and the reprise of Venus and Mars. For George, I got Tired of Midnight Blue, Can't Stop Thinking of You, The Answer's at the End, and Gray Cloudy Lies. And of course, I got the two A-sides in a weird change of event for Ringo, Goodnight Vienna, and No-No Song. So we'll see how that pans out for me.
Yeah, I'm excited to kind of arrange. I feel like I think, because I was a little bit more thoughtful about this picking, because there weren't like, definitely my likes and interests kind of influence picks in the past couple of albums, whereas this one I think I was a little bit more conscious of the going together, and like I had an idea of how I was going to arrange the songs before I picked, so I am kind of excited to go in and like rearrange these songs and see what comes of it.
Yeah, it should be interesting trying to make sense out of this mess, so
yeah.
I'm curious to see how these turn out, but definitely, we will have a Spotify playlist with our various song selections in the episode notes that you can check out later. And we'll have all the Spotify data uploaded for you to track. And as usual, don't forget to smash that subscribe button, because if you don't smash it, it doesn't count.
Doesn't work.
And exactly. And we'll talk to you in about a month when we decide or find out, really, just how off the rails these song selections ended up being from a, you know, statistical standpoint.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. See you next time.